Hello, everyone. It's Dr. Joanne Dalkay with Performing Edge Coaching International, and today is January the 14th, 2021, our first Performing Edge call in 2021, the new year. So happy new year, everyone. And today we wanted to talk about setting goals, building momentum for this new year of 2021, and being able to really get going on what it is that you want to do with your coaching. And so it's some of the things we want to talk about are being able to last time we did a talk about evaluation, and so talking about some of the carrying over some of the things that you might have learned from evaluating how last year went. Of course, last year was a very unusual, difficult year for most people because of the pandemic last year, and everything got put on hold. So just surviving last year was a major feat. But looking ahead this year, it's hard to imagine the Olympics, but hopefully they will happen in Tokyo. They were supposed to happen last year and then got rescheduled. So that's one thing that will be coming up. So you may have Olympic hopefuls that you can work with, either locally or around the country or around the world. Lots of athletes will be looking toward, competing in the Olympics. I know with Dave, you're working with track athletes, and Anna L. In France, working with tennis and soccer, football. So, in June in Texas, you're working with equestrian riders, and John in Omaha is working in Nebraska, working with swimmers. So, we've got a wide variety of sports here. Just looking at different things that you could do there, or you could be an expert sort of commentating on, for a local media station on the Olympics, just some things to think about. Looking at reflections from last year and what you did, what worked for you, what you can carry forward this year, setting your intentions for this year. And, you want to make this year your most productive, most creative, most lucrative ever, and be able to really open up new opportunities for you. I think now that the vaccination is starting to be rolled out with our for COVID-19, it'll make things a lot safer, so things will be able to happen there. And Dave, you mentioned that you're working with your school in high school in Utah. Can you just reiterate, did you say that the opportunities you might have there, that they'll be rolling out the vaccine and that they're looking at doing competitions this year? Is that right?
Yes. Over the next 3 weeks, they'll get the vaccine, and then, we'll still observe social distancing, but practices will occur. So, I'm sitting down with the head track coach and the other throwing coach, because I'm going to do the javelin, and we'll go through a blueprint for the season. So, that was my in, and then, I'm doing some coaching on the side as far as, coachability and ego, kind of helping at goals for the season with the throwers and eventually the runners.
Did you say rowers also?
And the runners. Sorry about that.
Runners.
And the runners.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Okay. It's great that you've gotten in with the athletic coach there. Is that right, so that you can work with individuals and groups and all?
Yeah, and they've not had this before there. They've wanted it, but, I'm willing to put in the extra time to build it out. And then, like I mentioned, the individual clients, that individual work will come as well. Plan.
Yeah, that's great. So, there'll be lots of opportunity, much more opportunity this year for most of us, many of us, than last year. And in lots of different sports, I think. And that, you know, things will open up more with people getting vaccinated. And so hopefully we'll see more competitions and, you know, more organizations being able to do, put on events and sponsor events and have athletes come. So, yeah, I invite you to kind of do your own personal and professional evaluation of how last year went for you, and then be building on your strengths as a performing edge coaching professional. And, you know, getting client feedback that you can to obtain that from clients you have worked with. And you can, you know, really recognize your true value as a coach to move forward. And it's a good time, I think, to be grateful for, you know, this field that we're in, for sports psychology and mental training, that it, athletes need us so much for this time to be able to break through mental blocks and be able to, you know, see that there's a, that sports does have a real future here. A lot of programs, you know, sort of got closed for last year, but, and it's a tendency to think, oh, this is going to go on and on. But yeah, now that it's a new year, and I think we'll be able to move forward and see that we can really do a lot with our sport, that it's really, the possibilities are endless in what we can do here. So, yeah, like, continue your process of kind of recognizing your achievements and what you were able to accomplish in 2020 last year, and then move forward with that. So, yeah, so I wanted to talk about some ideas that I had for kind of a blueprint for your goals for this year. And also, I just wanted to announce that you know, these calls are always the second and fourth Thursday of the month, so at 9 o'clock Pacific time. So the next one you put in your calendar would be the January 28th in 2 weeks from now. So that will be our next one that we can do as well. And again, I'm always open to new topics if you have one to offer to that you'd like me to address. I'm happy to do that. And so, also the main reason for these calls is to answer your questions. So some of the things, one person asked me a question from this group: what's the best thing to say to parents to get them to trust you? That was a really good question. And so, because oftentimes if we're working with high school or college athletes, it's the parents first that come to you that want help for their child. And so I'd say, in fact, I just talked to a parent last night who's of a 14-year-old gymnast, and she wanted to know about my work. And so one of the things you can do to get parents to build trust, and this applies to coaches too, get coaches to trust you at high schools and colleges if you want them to work with you, is to first ask questions and then listen on a really deep level. I think ask some questions of what it is that you, you know, what their problem areas are, what they're having the most struggles with, what they need help with, and then be able to tell your stories of what the kinds of athletes you've worked with. And you can tell them, you know, that you're a good, you know, excellent sports parent to seek help for your son or your daughter at this time. So I think it's good to reinforce that, that the parents or the coach is really smart for seeking you out, for being able to have, you know, this kind of help at this time, because it's, you know, athletes really need the mental health, especially this time of year and the new year when everyone's looking at setting new goals. And oftentimes anxiety is one of the big things, performance anxiety or, you know, not enough confidence. Those are big issues that people are looking to get solved. And you can say that this performance anxiety or social anxiety can get worse if you don't deal with it now, and can go into other areas of life. But if you if you do work with it now with your son or daughter, then they'll be able to transfer those skills into their other areas of life. So you could tell them that, and confidence. You know, that confidence skills can spread into being a better student, a better worker, lead to getting into a better college, playing sports in college, perhaps a scholarship, that kind of thing. And if you're an athlete yourself, which most of us probably are, have been, or still are, tell them that you're an athlete too. If you're, one thing is let's say, in this case with this 14-year-old girl, I said, I'm an athlete too, and it's, you know, if you're the same gender as that person, then you could bond with them that way and say, girls might need a good female role model who's an athlete, and so the mother really liked that. Same thing with guys, if it's if you have a parent that has a son, you could say that you're, because you're male also, that might help them to have a good male role model. Sometimes that can be helpful, although it's not necessary if it's a cross-gender kind of thing. So that's one idea that can help. And then find things in common with them, that if they're in running and you're a runner too, that same sport, to talk about your experience in that specific sport, if you have that. And then give them an idea of your process, what you do with custom visualizations, and that you have, you can create a whole library of these custom visualizations for them and coaching. Those are some ideas with the best thing to say to parents to get them to trust you. And so, I have some other questions I can answer later, too. Let me jump into some of the things I wanted to talk about today with goal realization and creating momentum now for 2021. So what you want to do is, get clear and gaining focus for your performing edge coaching calls for 2021. And so let's talk about kind of an action plan, strategies for successful change here, and using having kind of a new mindset and momentum for this new year, and ask yourself, what's your vision for this year? Kind of, if you can open your mind and look at the big picture first, and take your biggest successes from last year and carry those over, and look at what's your vision for this year, and create a new goal setting formula I want to give you for having a great ability to attract clients, attract coaches, and productivity and income from your performing edge coach coaching. So I want to talk about focusing on what's important here and being able to stay on your target with your plans. So one of the things first, kind of a step one, is identify what are your highest client-generating activities. So you might write down, what are my highest things that are going to, generate clients for me, generate clients and generate income, and then write a list of 5 or 10 of those things. So that could be a good homework assignment for all of you this week. So, for example, you're going, if you're going through the Performing Edge Coaching course, that could be one of the most important things. Or if you've finished the course and you're certified now, you can always go back and review the materials there, the replays, all the 8 modules, the materials there. And I'm updating the website, so that should get even better here in the next few days. So if you go to the page performingedgecoach.com/schedule, that's where you'll find the modules and all the replays there. So it's performingedgecoach.com/schedule is the main page, and that can take you to the other pages there too, the coach resource page and other things that we have there. And, I'd suggest spend 1 hour a day listening to the coaching of course, audios, you know, in the modules, going through the calls, reviewing the course materials, completing the assignments there, or adding to those, and you know, implementing some of the each of the steps in the course, and then we've got the replays from our all these calls that we've done for the last 10 years there. So it's a real wealth of resources there, and also I have in there. Adding new materials all the time. And then I'd say, you know, map out like 4 projects for this year rather than looking at the whole year. It was just hard to do. I'd say take it in quarters. So take the four quarters of this year, 3 months each. Take one for each quarter of the year. So think of it in 3 month increments, focusing on your one key project for the first quarter of this year. For instance, with this quarter, it might be focusing on your, making contacts with coaches or setting up a program for you. I know, Dave, you're there. You were working on your track program, runners and track at high school in Utah. Can you give an example of maybe focusing on what one project you'd like to work on for the first quarter of this year, or several things? It's a darn trick if you're on mute, or if you're traveling.
Dr. Joanne, hi. Were you talking to me?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you cut out there for a minute. So with track season starting, just sitting down with the coaches and laying out our blueprint for how we're going to engage the kids, you know, get to know them, motivate them, and set goals, realistic goals, to get started, right? Get in shape and, you know, get ready to throw, because I'm going to be doing the javelin. So, just really getting ground level with, you know, the frequency of the practices, you know, how we're going to engage the kids, you know, really create team cohesion, things like that.
Okay. Yeah, good. Yeah, it's, because javelin, of course, is very different than that for the runners. So good. Okay. There's so many different things that you can be doing. It might be, if you don't have a set of clients yet, for some of you it could be, say, working on a website, working on social media, or reaching out to different possible coaches or athletic directors to get referrals. But it also could be sports medicine doctors in your area. They're a really good source of referrals. Just a lot of reaching out, because this year, I think people are going to be having a different mindset for this year, looking toward new things that they can, expand on. Everything's been kind of contracted from last year and closed down, but now is a really great time to look at people having more of an expanding mindset and looking forward to opening things back up again. So whereas people have cut staff in the past, you know, last year, they'll probably be looking at rehiring people now and starting new programs. So, yeah, it's good to think of one, maybe divide the year up into 4 quarters, 3 month increment, and what you might do for each quarter, or you can just think of the first quarter of this year, and what you're doing then might expand to the second quarter. And it's good to think in terms of threes. I think, what are my 3 things? You know, write down a 3-item action plan for each day. So some examples might include arranging for a speaking engagement, either in person or by Zoom, you know, talking with a meeting planner, someone who's getting together meeting schools or sports clubs. It might be speaking to a group, And then, you know, talking about your coaching and your products after the group in the back of the room. I might be creating a product, ebook, checklist, a special report, coaching audio, video, CD, DVD, doing something on Zoom, and then recording that, and so it could be a video that you put up on your website or on YouTube. Could be marketing your performing edge coaching. And then other things might be, you know, and these are, you know, broader areas. Within those, you could break it down into three things, three tasks within these. But it could be something like working on your website, your coaching page of your website or blog, or putting a freebie, you know, some kind of free item up on your website to build your list. So something like a free article or a free audio download, and then people get that, and then you have their email that you can continue to stay in touch with them. You can write emails. You can write a standard kind of email that makes a compelling offer for your coaching services. It's good to have a standard email of some sort, and then you can customize it for each person. So that's good to do. And actually, I have one myself that I use, a standard one. So make a note here to send that to all of you and put that up on the website here, an email that describes your services. And you can customize it for each person so that you have that. And then you could create specialized coaching packages. You know, someone might write to you and say, what's your package, what's your program? Oh, yeah, I just heard, did someone else just join us too?
Yes.
Oh, did someone else just join us? You can introduce yourself.
Yes,
Annel. Oh, hi, Annel, how are you?
Good, and you?
Good, glad to have you on our call. All the way from France. That's great. Yeah, we have Dave on our call too, Utah. So, So great. We were just talking about setting goals and for this year, and we want to do, like, you know, it's good to break the year down into four quarters, the first 3 months, and then the next 3 months. Of something, a project that you want to do or something you want to focus on. So rather than having the whole year, which is kind of a long time, it's good to just think of each one 3 months at a time. So, I was just asking Dave about that in Utah. He's going to work on his coaching for athletes, for runners, and the javelin throw in Utah at the high school there. And so just depending on which, or you could just work on reaching out to people to get clients. So, Annel, what do you think? What's one key project you'd like to focus on for this first quarter, the first few months of this year? Do you have any ideas or something you want to focus on?
Not yet. No, because I have just arrived, so I need time to understand everything about what you are talking, so I need more time.
Yeah, okay, that's all right. But it might be just working on a website or working on articles. You could be writing articles to get clients that way. Or it could be lots of things that you can work on. You could work on, so even if you don't have clients yet, or you could you're certified now too. Congratulations again. And Dave is too, so you can always go back over the modules there by going to performingedgecoach.com/schedule. And I think I sent you the link for that, and I'll be updating more on the website there. So you can always review the materials in the modules there. it will always be available to you. So, there's lots of different things that you could do. You could be working on maybe speaking for a group, either in person or by Zoom or video calls, or creating products like an e-book or a checklist, a special report or coaching, those kind of things, CD or DVD or, working on something like that, or a brochure that you have. Also something, it's good to have something free that you can offer either through a website or through social, through your, you could put it on social media too, something, say an article or something simple that you could offer them, maybe a checklist of questions to ask yourself. You could create a little quiz of how to, a questionnaire, say a stress questionnaire to see, do you have these issues or things that you want to work on, and ask some questions that way so that people can identify the areas that they need work on. So many different possibilities of things that you can do even before you have clients to attract clients. So also you can think about offering at the beginning, it's good to offer, if you can, an initial client consultation that you do for free. And you could, it could be 30 minutes or 20 minutes or so, a phone consultation or by Zoom, where you get to know someone and find out what their issues are, and you could offer them a few tips. That's a really great way to build relationships with people. And then converting them into your coaching program, during the consult, you can say to them, this is, and giving them ideas, this is so good. You could say, we could do, here's what we could do in coaching, and then outline different things that you could work on with them based on what you learned from them. So those initial client consults are really a great way to build relationships. So that's step one. I was talking about step one being the kind of identify what your highest client generating activities are. So I'd say identify those and write them down. What are your highest things that can get you, that can help to bring in clients for you? And now mapping those out. And I'll send you my list here of things that you can do as well, my notes from here. And then you can, step two is to schedule blocks of time for your client-generating activities. So, most people feel like they're working hard. We're checking email or they're doing other things, but you may feel like you've really worked and go through the entire day, but you might feel like, well, how much time did I actually spend with client generating activities or my coaching, actually doing coaching, and ask yourself how many client generating hours did I complete today? And so it's kind of like vitamins, taking your RDA, your recommended daily dose for vitamins that day. And my suggestion is to start with one hour a day, your goal, to whether it's calling people or writing something, or it could be working on a website or working on, now that we have, social media with YouTube and LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, I think those are all really good places to to build your platform there. And do that first. I think morning's a really good time when you're fresh and most focused and, your biorhythms, you have the most energy. And so do it before your other activities, and you'll get more accomplished and feel so much better, I think, investing in yourself in your coaching this first each day, and your goal, super, say 1 hour a day at first, and then build up to 2 or 3 hours, or then 5 hours or so, and block out time on your daily calendar just like you would for a doctor's appointment. So that's step. So step one is identify your highest generating client generating activities. What you want to do for your marketing, and then step two, scheduling blocks of time for that. And step three would be to create a good morning night time routine. I think that's really important as well. So your that's your kind of foundation for processing, setting yourself up for your next day. So just things like, I think just before bedtime, you want to do what we tell our clients to do. Practice your three P's, three P's that we talk about: positive images, power words, present focus. You can do those with yourself, with your own goals. So you want to write down, say, three goals you want to accomplish for the next day, three tasks, and then do your three P's with those goals. So visualize the three goals, or it could be three small tasks even the next day, three people you want to call or connect with, or email, or send text to, however you communicate. So visualize yourself doing those goals. What's that going to be like? And then all the different details will come into play for you about what those are as you're visualizing them. So see yourself doing them the way that you want. See them happening. See yourself connecting with someone and them smiling and saying yes. And then power words is the second P. Say your three goals out loud. Say, like, I'm finishing chapter one of my ebook today, or I'm finishing an article, I'm starting an article on a certain topic. So have that, I'll sit out for you, and say, saying them out loud is really a good way to reinforce that. And then the third P is, of course, present focus, so have that. That present focus and calmness, as you drift off to sleep at night. And then so three ways to remember the three P's are see it, say it, do it. So focus and deliver, just like we tell our clients to. Isn't that great that we can actually use this for ourselves? So your visualization, it could be also reading, an audio or a video, or something motivational, something on our Performing Edge Coach website or other areas that you want to look at. The chapters of the Your Performing Edge book can be really motivational, not just for you, but not just for clients, but also for yourself. And so once you do that, with the visualizing right before you go to sleep, then if you've got that in your mind, the last thing you do before you go to sleep is what we tend to dream about. So your subconscious mind will be working on this, and then as you're sleeping, you get 8 hours more of productivity. Basically, it's amazing how your mind will start working on that all the time that you're sleeping, as opposed to worrying. A lot of us are usually worrying. If you tend to watch the news right before you go to bed, that's one of the worst things, because the news is always bad, and then we'll tend to think about that. But if you're actually visualizing your goals, right, and do the three P's right before you go to sleep at night, then that's where your mind's going to be going. And your subconscious will be working out all the details of how to accomplish, exactly what it is that you want to be working on. So it's amazing how that worked. So that you're drifting off to sleep, but your mind is working out, you know, what it is that you want to do. So that's the kind of evening. And then in the morning, as you wake up, you want to do the same thing, practice a continuation of that process, practice your three P's again the first thing in the morning. So kind of view the three goals or three tasks you want to accomplish and do your three P's with those goals once again in the morning. So see the see yourself doing it right, the three things you want to do, the power words, saying them out loud. I'm starting this article today, or I'm finishing, you know, finishing a project, and then just be able to, so that will help you set yourself on the right track. And then step four is to actually create and realize your ideal day. So take care of yourself first. You want to ask yourself, okay, what would my ideal day look like? So, so let me just check in with you now with that, you know, if you were to say your ideal day, or if you had a really great, productive day, what would that look like? Let me check in with you to see about that day. Were you there?
Go ahead. So my ideal day, I guess, wake up and have a good protein-based breakfast and go for a run, and then go off to do. Basically, I'm seeing clients during the day, so basically serve those clients to the best of my ability. And then in the afternoon, head to the track, do some coaching, focus, you know, really just focus my energy on serving others. And then in the evening, do a nice debrief with my wife and go for a walk with the dog and reflect on the day and ways in which I could improve and things I might have done differently, but really just making sure I'm keeping kind of in the moment and present, not getting pulled back into old cycles of worry or just obsessing over things that may not have worked, but really keeping in the present. So that would be a good day for me.
Great. Yeah, thanks, Dave, for sharing that. Yeah. getting up and working with your clients and staying present the whole time and then being able to, it's nice to have a family at home to reflect on. Starting the day by going for a run, that's really key. Yeah, doing some sort of exercise right away so you can take care of yourself first. Yeah. Yeah, how about you, Anna L? Are you there? What would the ideal day look like for you?
One more time?
Yeah, I was just asking, what would an ideal day look like for you? The best, if you had a really good day, a very productive day, how would that look for you? What would you do during the day
for me, it's the end of the day, it's the evening, so for me, it was a big day. And for me, a good day is when I can help all my clients on the goal, and when I try to work with my association because we help homeless in winter, and it's a lot of jobs. So when every day, if one day I can help my clients to have their goal and help in my association and be present for my family, it's the best for me, a good day.
Okay, great. Yeah, to be able to help your clients. And yeah, we're so lucky to be in this field, I think, because we can make, it's an area where you can make a good living and also really have a feeling of satisfaction of helping people and change lives.
Mm.
And, it's something where you're, you're and you feel like you're contributing to making the world a better place, and what you're, the kinds of things you're doing with your clients is not only giving them skills for, you know, for their sports, but of course you're giving them skills for life and to how to be a better student, a better athlete, and a better worker, a better family member, and all of that together. So it's really, every day, you know, it's good to be grateful for the field that we are in, because it's fun. You know, when people ask me, what do you do for a living? And I say I'm a sports psychologist or sports psychology coach. Most people always say, wow, that's really interesting. Tell me about that. That sounds like a lot of fun. And no one ever says, oh, my God. you know, they're just really curious and they think it's such a great field to be in. So it's good to just take a moment to think about that and how you can, how lucky we are to be in this field and to be able to use it the best. So those are the four steps. Take care of yourself, talking, and then I'll go on with the other steps here. So the first one is, identify your highest client-generating activities and then schedule blocks of time for those client-generating activities. And then step three, get a good morning, night time routine. And then step four, take care of yourself. Realize your ideal day. It's good to, like you said, Dave, eat some protein first thing in the morning and go for exercise. Hydrate a lot. I drink a lot of V8 juice, vegetable juice, and doing core exercises on the floor, for instance, in the morning, the living room floor, while listening to music. And while I'm doing that, I'm visualizing, planning my day. So, or if you're running, whatever exercise you're doing, during that time, that could be a visualization session for you to kind of plan your day and see each part. You can be really productive asking, okay, what are my three things in detail? Because as you know, when we do any kind of left-right activity, running, or when you're moving your left leg and then your right leg, left leg and right leg back and forth, or hands and arms with, say, swimming, any kind of activity like that, alternating left and right parts of the body, then you're also synchronizing the left and right hemispheres of the brain, so it improves your memory, your learning, your productivity, your creativity, all those things together. That's a lot of neuropsychological research showing that. And so we can, you can be doing a walk, a run, a swim, any of those things, or just exercises on the floor. And then, just having a good protein-based breakfast is really important. And, just take care of your own physical and psychological self first. And then step five, I call it your highest focus hour. So when you go into the first hour of your day, you want to protect your energy. So focusing starts with your highest level activities. Focus first. So I'd say choose one client generating activity or working with clients that requires the most focus first. Let's say if you're working on an article or something that requires a lot of structure and planning, do that part first. We oftentimes we tend to, kind of procrastinate and do the easiest thing first. But if you can do the hardest thing first or the thing that requires the most focus, it's probably going to bring you the most results as well. So before, checking your email or social media or text or before listening to the news or doing that other stuff, do this highest focus hour, the thing that is most, requires the most focus for you, do that first before you do anything else. And then save do that hour and then do your checking email and the administrative stuff in between. So maybe it's creating a video where you're doing some marketing or doing a client consult, you know, one of those initial consults to gain clients and then turn them into paying clients. Those, or whether it's creating a new product, do all of those. Do that highest focus hour first, or, you know, creating your marketing messages, or it could be planning some big, you know, some larger project that you have. So all those things are really important. Do the highest focus hour first. And then step six is taking smart breaks. So when you do take a break from something, so many people, they just move from one screen to another. You know, instead of working on the computer, they go to the phone and check other stuff. And where your eyes are still looking at a screen, it tends to be more of the same thing. Whereas what you want to do is move away from screens and look out somewhere. For instance, right now I'm looking out a window. If you have an opportunity to look out a window and look as far away as you can, I'll put some mountains or the sky. It's really important to do that during your breaks, what I call the smart breaks, because you're really giving your mind a break and your body. And when you do that, your mind tends to go into what's called the default mode network, which is where your mind is just wandering and your mind is relaxing. And during that time, you are actually, you know, your mind goes into this different mode. If you can, we'll talk about that maybe more on our next call, the default mode network, but it's just a very relaxed, creative state of mind where your mind is able to process through what you just were working on or the things before. Your mind goes to places where you can problem solve, figure out what you're doing next, and just it's a place of kind of regenerating your brain. It's a wonderful place that you want to be in. And so you can only do that if you're when you're not doing anything, basically. You're not looking at a screen. But I would suggest going for a walk or doing some kind of exercise or just, you know, going outside and gazing outside, because your eyes really need to be looking off into the distance, far away, and that's really good for our vision, too, to be able to look far, look near, look far, look near. Most of the time, our eyes are looking near, you know, at a screen, and if you can look far away, plus move your body a little bit, then you're going to be able to generate new ideas and, you know, maybe come up with another goal, or you might have that aha experience of like, oh, yeah, of course, that's where I was stuck, or that last client I was, I had that, here's what I could offer them, or here's what their, another problem I see, here's something I could have them work on. And by the way, that's how you can get a client to stay with you longer, I think, is to be able to say, oh, okay, so we solved this problem, but here's something else to work on from that, and give them another idea. I always create new goals for them to work on, and then clients will stay with you longer, and they'll be really loyal to you. So it's good to, when you're taking a break from something, make it a smart break, something where you're doing something different than what you've just done. And move, I say movement is improvement, even if it's just standing in place and lifting your left leg, right leg, left leg, right leg, back and forth, kind of marching in place, even for a few minutes, it's going to help you to get into that default mode network where your brain is allowed to really process things. So I ask you to create a menu of smart breaks, you know, some kind of activities that work for you. During your smart break, it could be, you know, 5-minute quick exercises, walking or running inside, or floor exercises. It could be dancing with music. You know, I do that sometimes, just put on a song, a CD, or whatever mode that you listen to, and, you know, play one song that's fast and, you know, dance to the music, move around. It could be stretching, like yoga, tai chi, qigong, doing some kind of quick exercises. It could be having a fitness ball, leaning backwards on this ball that really helps you. It could be, you know, just going for a quick walk and thinking of something funny and laughing, because that really helps too. So, yeah, let me just check in with you real quick and ask you, excuse me, what do you do for a smart break, or what's the best way for you to take a break from what you're doing? Dave, are you there? Do you want to respond?
Yeah.
If you can.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll go for a walk, for a 15-minute walk. I'll take the dog with me, just completely check out from screens, making sure, you know, I'm not on my phone, just, you know, walking, enjoying, being present. And then sometimes, you know, if I can't really get outside, I'll watch something on TV, like comedy, just completely separate from other things I might have been doing. So just to kind of take a vacation or a quick break and reset. And I find that exercise or a little comedy are two great ways for me, at least.
Oh, yeah. Humor, laughter is so important. For sure. I got a frog in my throat or something. How about you, Anael? Are you there?
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. How do you do a break? Do you take a break from your work? Or how would you take a break for you?
For me, I do a break thanks to meditation, mindfulness. So I take a few minutes to be in present, concentrated, to keep the concentration on the breath and everything around me, and just do a break about my mind, to do a break about my mind, about everything around me, everything concerning my job and everything. So it's meditation and mindfulness. Is it clear?
Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, meditation, mindfulness. Yeah, you could play a tape on that. You can make your own audio for that, since that's our field of expertise, just anything that's you could repeat a mantra kind of thing, like I'm calm, I'm safe, I'm all is well, that kind of thing. And you create something. So yeah, lots of really good ways to create breaks. And then step 7 is using a timer. I think it's good, a digital timer of some sort, to be able to create specific periods of time for, you know, doing your coaching and your client generating activities. Be able to put, be able to do so that you really focus and don't do anything else. Just try to stay away from web browsing and emails and checking phone. You will say to yourself, I'm going to focus, create this one project without interruption. and you'll be amazed at how well, how much you can get done when you're doing that, and say, I'm just going to do this one activity and for this 1 hour. And then step eight is resetting your posture. I think that's really important, too, that we forget about. So you want to think of sit tall, stand tall, walk tall. Excuse me. Be able to do, you know, sit up or do some sort of stretch. And then just be able to reflect the next step is, step nine is to be able to just reflect on the day, like Dave, you mentioned. I think I'm losing my voice here a little bit. Excuse me. And then step 10 is to be able to celebrate and reward yourself, have a reward menu of some sort of to be able to have a good day. So let me ask you all at the end of our call here, is there some kind of nugget, what kind of takeaway do you have from our call today? Something that could be most useful for you or something that you can take home with you? Dave, are you there?
Yeah, yeah. As far as goal setting and having a blueprint for the future, but really getting specific with it, I think that's helped me in the past, is, you know, even the things that have happened recently with coaching, you know, I wrote that down 4 months ago when I did the program, and those things came to be because we took action on them. And so, you know, over the next couple months with coaching itself, and I'm doing a speed training class at the hospital. It's a month-long training class, and I'll be working with some physical therapists and people with real hands-on, like applied kinesiology, and I'm just so looking forward to that part of it because it's just going to add to my skill set. So I'm really thinking about just all the extra little tools I can add along the way. Because, you know, it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to actually be doing it with clients in the moment. So my confidence, I think, will build over time in areas that I did not think I would even dabble in, as far as like injury recovery, stuff like that. I'm reading a great book on that right now. So just really adding skill set. I think that's my big focus.
Great. Yeah, thanks, Dave. Yeah, sounds like you've got a lot of good projects going here. Yeah, and Anna L., do you have a takeaway for today or something you learned, something you want to try to do?
Yeah, for me, which is important is the break, because I have a long day, I work a lot. I know it's very important to do a break. I know how is it important to be to take the time to do a break, and you know, sometimes when we do a day and we have got a lot of things to do, we work, and we don't stop, and sometimes I don't have the time just to eat. So I think it's good to, it would be great for me to do more break on the day and bring more meditation and mindfulness in a day. So I think it's good to hear you today, because for the next week I will just put little break, more break in a day.
Yeah. That sounds great, Anna. And I'm glad you mentioned eating. That's an important thing, too. Doing a break to take some snacks. Eating is the most fun, right? Yeah, exactly.
Fortunately, for me, I love what I do. I love my work. So it's good for me. But I think a break, it's good for me, too.
Yeah. That's great. Okay, well, thanks, everyone, and great to talk with you. I'll send you these the audio replay here shortly and my notes from our call. And I wish you all a good week and Happy New Year again, and we'll talk again on the January 28th, so you can put that on your calendar, and I'll send you all these 10 steps that we talked about today. So, yeah, work on being good to yourself, taking good care of yourself, and then you can take good care of your clients as well and be a lot more productive. So wish you all a really happy, healthy, good start to the new year. And, it's great to connect with you, Dave and Anna L. and all other people on our call here, too. So fantastic. Yeah, I'm so glad you could join us. Such an honor to work with you. So, all right, we'll talk to you next time. On the 28th. Okay. Have a great day. Okay, thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.